Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got a mob of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our mountain wealth matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a thought, we're German and love the masses, and kiss the cream the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to the podcast too?
That is right. Welcome into our
and you.
We'll give it a second there, like Chris finish up.
You love the podcast too.
You would think after how many times we've listened to that I, Jeremy, would know when Chris's song is going to finish on the show. So thanks for joining everyone there. That's what you call live radio.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice of you to preserve my artistic ingenuity, as some would say, and others would say it's absolutely stupid, myself included. So welcome to the show.
Hilarious. Yes, well, this is the show. We're starting now. It's Jeremy, that's Chris, MWCConnection.com. Follow us on Twitter at MWCConnection. I'm assuming everybody, if you're aware of this website, you know what you're listening to. If not, welcome, pull up a chair, hang out, and visit our website and listen to our spoken word of football, because football's here. We're ready for football. We're 12 weeks away, but
it's
ready.
It's our Mountain West word of truth.
There we go. Excellent. Perfect. We are beginning. This is our first of many preview shows. This will kind of give us our first insight and look ahead to the entire season. We'll also do one of these mid-August, I'm assuming, if our schedules round up perfectly. We'll do another one, because between now and summer school, fall camp, random injuries from guys on mopeds, which we kind of hope happen, but not too serious. The funny injuries. There'll be a lot of change between now and mid-August.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I don't know if you're keeping record of all this stuff tonight. Obviously, we're saying stuff on the podcast.
We are this year. I'm going to keep track right now. I have my Google Drive open as we speak to put these
so do I. I was actually having an Excel spreadsheet open so we could keep track of our...
Because last year, we didn't really do that. Because last year, like, oh, here's our picks. We kind of remember what we did. Maybe, maybe not. But no, we're going to keep track, be accountable. These are not our set-in-stone ones, but these are ones that we're going to basically be our guide down the road. Once we get to late August, that's when we got to mark them in. Put them on the website so everybody can make fun of us 4 months later when we're all wrong. That's all it works,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you might as well send me that invite right now so I can keep track of what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I will do that. Yeah, I can multitask. As I do that, and as we do have every show...
Can you?
Can I? Will I? can I multitask? I get you. Gotcha. I was about to make it three things at once. As I'm sending Chris a spreadsheet, which everybody loves and wants to know... We may or may not have a guest on the show today. We possibly have a Fresno State person joining us today. We've had a few, not hiccups, but adjustments to schedule, so we may have a Matthew K joining us sometime throughout the show. So we'll keep an eye on the switchboard. He'll talk about Fresno and whatever, really. He does Fresno.
No, he won't talk about Fresno. We'll talk about everybody.
Everybody. Well, I don't want to keep it for an hour, because this show is scheduled to go 90 minutes, and I like to keep it under that.
But
before we
get this is the kind of show, though, that could totally go for the full 90 minutes. And we'll probably end up going off topic like we normally do, like we are right now.
Retroology, send you to Google Drive, of course. But as we do, if you like off-topic, this, here's something off-topic for you. If you like to listen to audiobooks on your three-hour commute to work, because I've heard commercials where they love listening to audiobooks when they drive from Schenectady to Manhattan every day. If you like,
I don't drive 3 hours for my commute to work every day, but yes, I do like to listen to things.
Yeah, like this show here, that's a good example. I have a good hour or so commute on the train or bus, whatever I take. And you can get, we have a cool thing right now, help us support the show a little bit. If you like what we're listening to, if you don't like us, but you like listening to audiobooks, hey, it doesn't matter if you like us or not. Head over to audibletrial.com/MountainWest. As I say every week, you can listen to Stephen Colbert read a book to you. You can listen to Game of Thrones from George R.R. Martin. See how I got it right there this time? No? Maybe?
Yep.
I'm not a huge fan.
But that's okay.
People do. Well, I'm saying, what you can do, you get a free 30-day trial, check out a book, listen to it, New York Times bestsellers, all sorts of different books on there. Check it out. Help us out a little bit. Give us a couple bucks, maybe. It's free for you, but it may give us a dollar, maybe. And I'm being generous if it's a dollar. The split between me and Chris. So, audibletrial.com/MountainWest. Go check it out. You can do Android, Windows, Kindle Fire. If you have iTunes or was it iPhone, I guess. I got an Android myself, so... check that out. Excellent stuff. Now, here's the real part of the show. Well, actually, one more bit before we get to the show. We have some news. Did you notice a couple transfers coming to Mountain West this past week?
I did. To San Diego State, correct?
Yeah, Lucky Radley, Utah running back. Not surprised he transferred because he sat out all of entire spring football. And Utah's depth chart's pretty stacked. Not necessarily stacked with great talent, but... there's a good competition between, like, the first three or four spots. And he was a backup every year, so he would have gotten maybe 10 or 20 carries at most or somewhere around there. Nothing great. He'll be a backup at San Diego State behind DJ Pumphrey. In fact, kind of – he's the same style of back. So he's a decent back, but he's not going to be one of these guys that come in and just blow it up and be a starter for 1,500 yards or something like Caffrey Bibbs did kind of out of nowhere last year. We got him. That gets some depth to the Aztecs. The other one I'm excited about, Utah State got a quarterback.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Actually, San Diego State got two guys. This is all Oregon-directed. Damien Hobbs, who was going to go to Utah State last year when he committed, but then he decided to take that trip up to Eugene. And, well, Chris, you haven't been up there, but you can imagine what they have at Eugene to show all the recruits, correct?
Well, let's just put it this way. When I was in Eugene, they didn't have those things. And I know they have those things now.
Yeah. Facilities, okay, this looks pretty nice. I'm going to Oregon. Well, he redshirted last year. Didn't play. He's a dual threat guy. Same style as Chucky Keaton. So he's leaving. He's coming to Utah State. He'll sit out this year. And it'll be interesting when he can actually play because we saw Daryl Garrettson last year. He looked pretty good. And he'll be, I'm assuming, well, he's going to be a sophomore. So he'll be a junior. And Garrettson's going to be a backup for sure because Hobbs has to sit out. It'll be interesting in 2016 if Hobbs is as good as they say he is, or if he's going to be behind Garrettson for those 2 years and get 2 years to play once he can actually see the field. But it's a ways down the road, but some good news for Utah State. Good news to get this guy who wanted to go there, and then he got the big shiny eyes of Phil Knight there in Nike in Oregon, University of Nike in Eugene.
Yes.
And the other one...
which, funny enough, before... okay. So trivia question, what was Oregon's sponsor before Nike?
Without using the Google machine, Russell Athletic?
No, without using Google.
That's what I said. Russell Athletic?
Nope.
There's not that many. It wasn't Under Armour. Reebok.
No, it was Adidas.
Oh, Adidas. That's right. Okay. Excellent. Good news there. And then I guess Oregon lost a couple guys. They lost Josh Rodriguez, who's going to San Diego State. So there's some transfer news the past week or two. I know the website's been filled with baseball news, but hey, thanks for hitting that up because we've had record weeks since like the NCAA tournament. So that's, even though both teams are now officially out, Chris, it's Las Vegas morning. They lost today, this afternoon, to Oregon State in baseball to be eliminated. Are the tears flooded down whatever street, the main street in Las Vegas? All right, let's begin. So we as you know, if you listen to the show a lot, we prepare our own separate ways, but we don't really collaborate until the show begins. So, Chris, how do you want to begin the show?
Oh, that's nice. You're blaming all this blaming me. Actually, let's go ahead and do this. So, let's generally briefly go through each team's positive and negatives.
Okay.
And then kind of take a ranking for every single team.
Okay.
And then play bowl game or no bowl game.
I sent a few notes. We put bowl game, no bowl game, maybe a couple of games you want to travel to, some big games up in terms of conference title.
Yeah, games you want to travel to because
And also, we are in process. I have yet to begin, but we are in process of our top 50 player countdown list again. So look forward to that right around the 4th of July, I believe, when that'll begin, or probably, no, sooner than that. That's starting soon, so I need to get on that list. But we will have that again because that was pretty fun last year. So let's just go alphabetical order. So Air Force was pretty awful last year. And that's being mildly nice, correct?
Yeah, they were awful.
The odd thing about Air Force, kind of the early projections, Jerry Palm, you pointed out to me, has Air Force in a bowl game? I don't see that happen.
Yeah, no. Not at
because,
all.
Because, no, they won zero conference games last year. They beat a bad Army team and FCS team. And part of it was they did have horrific injury at the quarterback position. They had Jalee Owini is now gone from the program. He got injured. Carson Roberts, Nate Romine, Kel Pearson, whoever you want to mention was hurt at some point. So the quarterback position was a mess. And even though it's just a running option, have you ever seen how the exact precise timing you got to have on those fake handoffs and tosses? If you're switching quarterbacks every other play because of injury, that's a pretty big deal to not have a good or successful season.
Yeah. I don't know. And looking at their schedule, I mean, they can easily pull out a few wins. I mean, they start against Nicholls State, FCS school. They play new FBS school, Georgia State, at the Georgia Dome.
FCS Plus.
Yeah, they did not fare well last year, and I don't expect them to fare this year. And then they've got their Navy, Army.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, when you look at the quote-unquote gauntlet of the Mountain West schedule this year, Wyoming should be much better. Boise State, yeah.
Really? Wyoming will be – we'll get to Wyoming, but why would they be much better when they lost their two best players?
I'm perceiving them. A whole coaching change mentality. But anyway, plus they're at Wyoming, at Utah State, at UNLV. Somehow they lost to UNLV last year, and even though UNLV is on bowl ban this year, they're building up. And really, I mean,
they go to San Diego State. They go to San Diego State. That's not easy.
Yeah, that's what I said. Their West Division opponents. San Diego State, UNLV, and who's their other West Division opponent? Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada.
I mean, that's not an easy West schedule, except for UNLV.
Well, even then, they shouldn't be. While they lost Tim Cornett, they do have Devonta Davis back. They lost Caleb Herring and McSherry, who I think might be the starting quarterback. They're probably going to be on the high ceiling. Vegas will probably be what they were last year at the very best. So I guess you're right. They'll take a step back a little bit.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Air Force, they're nothing. They don't return. Here's the thing. Their offense running game is so great, typically, but they bring nobody back. Like, Brome Hart will be their main guy. John Lee, maybe. Oh, yeah, John Lee. They have a couple guys, but their top six rushers, three of them were quarterbacks. You're not playing three quarterbacks. Unless there's some random person who comes out of nowhere, which is pretty rare at the academy, they're not going to have any one dominant person. That's what they need. Even though they'll get the yards, they got to have at least one guy, quarterback or running back, typically one of each, that can get at least 800 yards to be the main guy to get 15 carries a game while they split up between 10 guys. I don't see them having that this year unless John Lee can be that guy. John Lee and Brohm Hart, which possibly, but those two guys last year, they combined for 800 yards.
Yeah, so, I mean, and we know that we know that Air Force is going to be racking up the yards, but their defense, they don't look impressive on defense either, and who knows if they're supposed to be, you know, who knows if they're supposed to be solid as well.
Well, I'm looking over at our good buddy Bill Conley, who does an excellent job with these previews. As soon as I hit the backspace button on accident, their defense has always been an issue. Everybody knows the drill. They're undersized. They're fast guys, but nobody's really usually faster than most offensive lines on their front. But they're not big enough to take a tackle or take off a center or do anything to get a big push up front. They lose two starting linebackers. They return four. They're senior late and four senior guys back. But it's just always tough for them. They haven't had a good defensive backfield in years, and that's what they really would be helpful to have. But they're bringing guys back like Alex Hansen. He's really good. He's probably their best defensive end, their best player. They bring back most of their defensive line. They lose a couple linebackers. They bring a lot of guys back, but they weren't good. So it's like the old question always here. Well, your defense was terrible. Your position was awful. But you're bringing back 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 guys you started. But are they going to be that much better? That's where they're always going to be, at least this year. They bring back three of their four secondary or defensive backs. They lose two outside linebackers, and they bring back their front four. So they got the guys, but do they have any guys that can play? That's the question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So let's go ahead and talk about it just slightly. Or let's go ahead and make a very, very early preview.
All right.
How many wins?
So what? Because I see you're in our Google chart here. Because just when I'm bored, people, so I can type as we go. Do we want just bowl game, no bowl game, or win total, or both?
Let's do win total and bowl game, no bowl game.
Okay, that's fair. And I'll save this for later, so we'll know. So you go first as I'm getting this typed in.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say 4 wins, no bowl game.
Okay, 4 wins. Who are their 4 wins?
Nicholls State, Georgia State. I'm going to go ahead and say Army.
Army, interesting.
And they play New Mexico at home. I'm going to say they're beating New Mexico at home.
They're beating Football Bob?
Football Bob.
He's back. Okay.
It's
going to
be a really random loss.
Yeah, I see Nicholls, Georgia State should be fine. I don't see it being Army in the road. I don't know. You're not beating Utah State. I think they can beat New Mexico. 3. I'll go 4. I'll go with you. And I'll say the win could be either at Wyoming or home versus Colorado State. I don't see them beating Army on the road. Maybe, and I'll include New Mexico as well. I say I'm going to go 4, but it's not a confident 4.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, we're going to be doing a full preview of Air Force here in a couple weeks anyway. So, I mean, this is just early.
Yeah, and we'll come back. All right, so we'll do that. So no bowl game. All right, let's go to Boise State. If you recall, there was some Twitter fire towards me a few months ago when I put Boise State could possibly have a 0 to the right of the schedule. I'm still kind of feeling that way. Because with Boise State, obviously Chris Peterson's gone. They bring in Brian Harsin, which for people who say that's a really big change, I think it's a change. Not that it's a change for a better, but even when they made the decision to bring him in, he's by far the best choice outside of getting somebody, a huge name, become the Boise State. Are you the same feeling of that, that he was their number one best choice to bring in?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, we've talked about this before when they brought him in. The guy's born and bred Boise, left, got his experience elsewhere, came back to the job he really wanted. I think he's going to be here for a long term. Who knows how long a long term will be. But he's not going anywhere for a while. This is the job he really wants. I think he's going to do really well at it.
Yeah, he bring in, everybody knows, he's here, OC during the, when the BCS, was he there for both games, I believe, all TCU and Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yeah, he's there for both of those games. He was also there, he left for to be the some sort of offensive coordinator, OC with Texas. Left that fire and went to Arkansas State 1 year, conference champion, bowl win as well. Or did they win their bowl game? I know they won their conference title. Whatever it may be, they won the conference titles, first-year head coach, Arkansas State. And then one thing I'm excited, the most thing I'm excited about is he's bringing back the motion offense. He'll have players in motion more than last year. And that's a
and
big thing.
That's what excites me the most.
And probably
yeah,
very little bit.
You have no idea. And that, that gets me extremely.
It should, man. Like, I remember watching that Washington game last year as a joke. They're just run off the field. They couldn't do anything, couldn't move the ball, couldn't. They're just stagnant. Like, all right, we'll just try this and give it to Jay Jai and see what happens. So here's the under schedule. I guess apparently Miss Ole Miss is better than we thought they would be. However, they're missing the Deetram brothers for the first game, two-star defense linemen. And if you look over at the S&P ratings over at Football Study Hall and Football Outsiders, Ole Miss is 24 overall, which is pretty good. But
yeah,
this
totally.
Is a neutral site game. Boise State's 23, so. And for those people, those ratings, what they are, they've updated me again. It kind of includes, since it's so early, it's kind of a rolling number, but also number of starters returning, obviously, help Air Force. They get a big bump if you bring a certain amount of offensive players to defensive players back in the starting lineup. And Boise State, I don't remember, I'll look at their projected starters back, but they bring a decent amount of players back. Jay Ajayi, Grant Hendrick is back, half starter. A few other guys lost the NFL draft, like Charles Leno, Marcus Lawrence, a few other guys. But the first game, that's going to be key because I don't know if they could beat Ole Miss, but it's in a neutral site. It's a Thursday night game on ESPN and the Georgia Dome. This will be a return trip after they beat Georgia last time there, and quite convincingly as well, a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm less worried about Ole Miss. I'm not worried about Connecticut at all. This is
no, they're 3-9. They're awful. They're awful.
I'm actually more curious / worried about Louisiana.
They were very early, very, very early. They were considered to be the number one team out of the group of five conferences to get that New Year's Day bowl game. The big money bowl game. But now it's kind of leaned to Cincinnati for another odd reason. I don't know why. But Louisiana's good. But they get Louisiana at home. Ole Miss, they're good. But here's the thing. What did they do last year? They've never been. I guess part of it is it's the name thing. Well, what have they done? They have no name. It's like playing against UNLV. Whatever. They went to a bowl game last year, but they're awful. One of those type of things. That's where I might be falling into that trap where I'm saying, well, they're Ole Miss. They're in the SEC, but they've always been terrible. But I don't see that, like last year, right now, I'm pulling up their, what doing last year. They were, where is it? Yeah, they're 8-5. That's not bad. But looking at who they played last year, I know there was a lot of turnover and stuff.
But they threatened some SEC teams last year.
Yeah, they I'm not saying they're bad, but they've improved. But I don't know why they, maybe it's just, is it our arrogance to think, oh, it's just Ole Miss, whatever. They've never been good. They're just okay. They're getting a little bit better. But look at the good teams they played. They lost. They got shut up by Alabama, lost to Arkansas, Auburn by 8, and lost. This is a tough stretch. Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M. They lost all three of those. They beat LSU. They lost to Missouri. They lost to Mississippi State, who wasn't very good last year. So their best win is LSU. But outside of that, if you're looking at their schedule, they beat nobody. Vanderbilt, whatever. Southeast Missouri State. We know Texas was awful. Idaho. We can make fun of that all day. They beat Troy pretty good, but they beat nobody.
Hey, let's not make fun of Idaho. I mean, Florida has a really, really, really difficult non-conference game against them the first game of the year.
They did lose to Georgia Southern. So.
I'm just kidding. Let's make fun of them all day long.
Yeah, but I'm not going to discredit Ole Miss, but yeah, LSU is obviously a great win. But besides that, beating Arkansas, they're the worst team in the SEC. Troy, Sun Belt, not very good last year. Lost to Missouri. It's It's tough to say. I'm confident because right now, has the line come out for this game yet? I know there's been a few lines here.
No, I don't think so.
Not sure in this one. I think it's maybe 6. I don't know. But that's one of those feelings. It could be just because, but it's a new coach. They'll be pumped to go down there Thursday night playing a team from a pretty good team from a very good league. They're going to win. We're not going to go game by game, but that's the big game. If they can win that game, they'll set their schedule because tell me when their next loss is really going to come. Colorado State, no. At Connecticut, no. Even if Louisiana's that good, no. At Air Force, no. At Nevada, 90% win. You have an open date before you play Fresno. They're not going to lose to Fresno at home after having an off week. They host
BYU.
No,
and we still don't know too much about Fresno except for the fact they got Connett.
Yeah, Brandon Connett. Is he going to start? I don't know. Is the running game going to step up? Can Josh Harper be the guy now that after Isaiah Burst and Devonta Adams left?
I hate to say it, BYU doesn't look that good this year.
We'll get to the Cougars. I'm fully. Yeah, we'll get to BYU. They're the only thing about BYU, that's probably the. I'd say if there's going to be the first loss, it'll be BYU before Fresno State. Because Fresno State doesn't, like I said, no quarterback. We don't know. They're replacing a lot of talent on offense. They do have Darren Smith, who's the law impact, finalist or preseason dude. And if you're going to BYU, they got a good offense, Taysom Hill, quarterback, Jamal Williams, good. Well, I hesitate to say Taysom Hill is a very good quarterback. He's a good quarterback that can run the ball. He'd be so great at Air Force or Navy.
Right. The thing about Taysom Hill is he's extremely streaky, and we saw that last year. He played like utter crap the first 5 games of the season, and then he turned it around and did really, really well.
Yeah, he can throw okay. I'm just kind of cracking on him a little bit. He can throw pretty good. He needs to be better than last year, but we're talking about Boise State. Their defense will be fine. Here's the thing with BYU. Their receiving corps during spring football, they had one scholarship wide receiver who was healthy, a JUCO transfer who looked awful but rated high. They do bring in Jordan Leslie from UTEP, who's 1 year of eligibility to graduate, very good. They bring in Devontae Blackman from Oregon. They have a couple guys who are injured that should play, but chemistry is a big deal. This time, that time late in the year, they still haven't picked up. Their biggest thing on their defense is their secondary is usually awful. They actually have good talent and actually athletes back there, which is a shock. But I would say I would think BYU would be tough. Could be their first loss in the schedule. Or the first, assuming they beat Ole Miss, if they can, if I were going to look any team for a loss, I'd put that in as a loss before Fresno State.
Yeah, totally.
They host, though. That's a big deal.
Yeah. So should we go ahead and do the prediction then?
Yeah. I'm afraid, man. It's early, and I don't want to say what I'm going to say.
No, but see, here's the thing about an early preview. We can say what we want to now. As we preview that team, we can correct our mistakes that we said in the early preview.
12-0. I'm going to say it. 12-0 right now.
Hey, that's what I was going to say, too.
It's hard not to, because...
It really is. This is not a fantastic Boise State team. This is not the 2010 Boise State team who lost to Nevada by a field goal. This is not even the 2009 Boise State team who went undefeated. We really have no clue how good this team is going to be, but the schedule sets up perfectly.
Perfectly
to go 12-0.
Jay Ajayi probably will be the best running back in the conference. We know Grant Hendrick, after being able to actually practice and play, will be fine. They still have Matt Miller, who they can throw the ball to. They still have one of those tight ends. Defense is always a good for this team. So we have a base understanding of what they will do. It's just we don't know, is there a DeMarcus Lawrence on this team, or like a Tyler Shoemaker or an Austin Pettis? We don't know if those guys are there. We kind of do, and Jay Ajayi and with Grant Hendrick kind of in that category. We just don't know who those guys are going to be, and based off history and schedule, like you're about to say, schedule is a big deal. Look at their home games for their conference schedule, or their road games. Their road games are a joke. The way it sets up?
They really aren't that good. But, I mean, this is a team who offensively is going to be back where they were. I firmly believe that. And I might be wrong, but I firmly believe that.
Here's what I think. I think they'll be better than last year on offense. Not that they were bad last year, but they're gonna. It's gonna be more exciting. Not that the trick play stuff they thought they'd have in Texas with Harrison there, but he brings imagination to the offense. Like I said, motion. They'll do different style of plays. Have do the jet sweep. Do those type of plays where you bring guys in motion and move the guys around, move the positions around on offense and the back offensive backfield. And yeah, if I go back, look at their schedule again, their most losable game is at Nevada, in my opinion. The game they're most likely to lose overall, I'd put that as their number one chance to be lost. I'll rephrase my Fresno BYU comment, but that's probably the most likely loss in their schedule. Playing at Reno is very difficult. Nevada has Cody Fajardo. They'll have what's the coach name? Based in my nine, the head coach, second year. I'm spacing.
You know what? They're more likely to lose to BYU than they are against Nevada.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
Actually, we may have a guest here tomorrow. That's why I went. We'll have Matt K here in a second. But think about it. At Nevada, that's more difficult than hosting BYU. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's where I'm getting. Then they host San Diego State, they host Utah State, they host BYU, they host Fresno State, and they also host Colorado State. Am I correct? I'm replying to Matt's email. But they also host Colorado State, correct? Yeah. Look at that schedule. It's like Nevada's last year. That's why I gave Nevada a ton of credit last year for having a chance to compete in the league with who they played at home. Honestly, I don't see why 12-0 is realistic, in my opinion, just based on the schedule and the history of what they do. Now, once we come around to
it. It's totally realistic, and it's also totally realistic that they go 10-2 or 9-3. But I'm going to go 12-0 here.
Let's do it. We got to be controversial somehow. 12-0.
We will. We'll get more controversial as the show goes on.
And, yeah, no need to put bull or bull name. Let's see if we have our man on Matt. We'll chime in with Matt in a second. He'll be here momentarily. Apparently, the Skype link was busted. So let's move on to those Colorado State Rams. They do lose. Who's your starting running back going to be? Do you have any clue?
Let's go ahead and take a look at the Bill C.
But that stuff has changed since then. They've lost Capri Bibbs, Donnell Alexander transferred, and I think they lost somebody else as well.
They lost Donnell Alexander.
He went to Akron. Chris Nwoki, too. Yeah, he's gone as well.
So it looks like that their starting running back
could be a freshman.
It could be Eric Williams, the sophomore.
Possibly.
Jason Oden, the junior. Bryce Peters, three-star redshirt freshman.
Yeah, good chance. All right, we'll get that in a minute. Bring in our good man, Matthew K. here. All right, so it looks like the Skype link was broken for you, but do we have you here, Matthew, Matt, to discuss whatever we want to talk about with you?
Well, that depends. Can you guys hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah!
Hey!
Yeah, Skype wasn't cooperating, so I apologize for the delay.
No, it's okay. It has an issue. If you click on that link, it wants to – it's just a process. It'll probably work in about 5 minutes, but it takes a while for Skype to pick up when you call that way. But let's step back. Here's our good friend, Matthew K.
Look, everybody. It's our good friend, Matthew K.
Yeah, Fresno State extraordinaire. Does other random stuff for us on the website, edits some stuff, arranges some layouts if I ask him nicely. But here, we were just discussing Boise State. We're going to probably do a quick fire with you, kind of do about 10 or 15 minutes. As you know, this is our big overview. Don't take us accountable for everything we're discussing now because that will change in 3 months. But let's take a step back. We just talked about Boise State, and we've already gone half an hour, so we got to kind of hurry here. What are your initial thoughts on Boise State's schedule? Because I assume you heard what me and Chris said about the team, right? At least part of it. Maybe?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So what is your – because, okay, me and Chris think they have a very, very good chance to go 12-0. Do you see that being a realistic possibility, or are we just crazy?
No, I don't think that's realistic.
That's not at all?
No. No, I don't think anybody's going undefeated this year,
but
at least within the Mountain West.
Oh, of course, yeah. But looking at their schedule, does Ole Miss really scare you that much for a Boise State team? They're losing their two – and Deacham brothers aren't going to be there the first weekend to get suspended. Ole Miss they're not that great. They went 8-5 in the SEC, lost outside of LSU. That's all they beat. I'm thinking if they can pass Ole Miss, they're not going to have a challenge until Nevada, Fresno, BYU, and two of those three at home. So that's why I'm giving the benefit of the doubt that they will, that might, they have a good chance to run the table.
Well, I think they have to settle some of their offensive issues because Grant Hedrick, he's slated to be the starter, correct? Because Nick Patty transferred?
Yes, Patty Wagon's no more.
So I think the question you have to ask yourself is whether Grant Hedrick is going to be ready to step in and lead this team on day one when they go and play Ole Miss in the Georgia Dome, right?
Yeah. Fair assessment.
Because I think you also have to wonder how much their playmakers are going to step up because, you know, they still have Matt Miller. But who's going to be the guy opposite of him? You know, are they going to have anybody over the middle that they can throw to?
Unless they have Jay Ajayi there running the ball, and he's probably be the best running back in the league.
Well, and you're probably right. I just think that there's enough questions that, you know, somewhere along the way, something is going to go wrong, and someone's going to catch him. No, someone's going to catch him on a bad day. It could be Louisiana Lafayette. It could be Fresno. It could be Utah State at the end of the year.
But my thing with that, those are all home games. Every tough game they get, that's kind of my Nevada defense last year where they should have been better than I thought. Every tough game's at home.
How many home games did they lose last year?
Good question. I don't have that up. You're getting me off guard.
Yeah.
I'll pull that up. I'll pull that up right away and see. But
I don't think they lost a home game last year. Did they?
I don't know. I'll check up right now. But that's where I kind of give them the benefit of. I know Utah State will be tough. Fresno, even though they're – I think they have a lot more questions on offense than Boise State does. They have BYU at home, who's going to be okay. But that's what I'm trying to pull it up here. But that's where I kind of think, outside of last year, you got to give them the benefit out a little bit that they can have a very good chance of beating these teams.
Well, here's what I'll say. As a Fresno State guy who was on the edge of his seat for pretty much all of last season,
yeah.
I can tell you firsthand that going 12-0 is really, really, really hard. To go undefeated. There were several games last year where the Bulldogs almost tripped up, probably the superior team. You know, the one that immediately comes to mind is the San Diego State game. And then finally their weaknesses caught up with them when they went to go play San Jose State. So, you know, not to discredit Boise because they probably are one of the top two or three teams in the conference, but to see that they're going to go 12-0 right now, I'm not willing to make that bet.
No, I understand. I get it. Last year they went 6-0 at home, so that's kind of to help them out, that home field advantage. I'm not saying they will, but right now I get they have new coach, which an old coach, Hendrick, you're right, if he'll step up or not, if he can be the guy I think he could be. We'll get to your Fresno team. But where do you think they'll end up going this year? Like, they going to win the Mountain Division again? Or are they going to lose to BYU, Fresno, Utah State? We'll go 8-4. What do you kind of think they're going to end up being at this extremely early position we're in?
Well, Utah State actually won the division last year.
Oh wait, jeez, I'm staring at a
seriously, Billy, how'd you screw that?
I'm looking at my. I went back to the Bill C's preview, and there's a big picture of Boise State as I said that down. Sorry.
Well, because I think he was taking like their 5-year F+ rankings or something like that.
Yeah, overall, yeah.
So I mean, there's a very good chance that Boise State's going to be the class of the league. I would call it a toss up between them and Utah State to win the division. I really think it's going to come down to that November 29th game.
Definitely. But what about the other? Like, what about your Fresno State team? Are they going to be able to beat Fresno State, or are your Fresno State going to? We don't know who your quarterback's going to be. How do you think that game could shape up at this point?
Well, you kind of have to hope that they have a quarterback by then.
That'd be better.
But
I like the
recent history. Recent history doesn't suggest that Fresno's going to have a lot of success in Boise. I can't remember the last time that they went into. You know, Albertson Stadium, as it's called now, and beat the Broncos.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, let's go to your team in general now. What do we know?
Right.
Me and Chris will go back and forth here, but we'll skip Boise State. They're going to be very good. They possibly can win that mountain, but I get your St. Collins crazy going undefeated is the right call to make, because if you're predicting any team to go undefeated, you're pretty much crazy anyways, because it's how few and far between it happens. But Fresno State, Let's start off the easy question. Who's going to be their day one starter versus USC?
If you ask me right now, it's going to be Brandon Connett, the guy who transferred from Duke. I don't think they would be bringing him in if they didn't expect him to be a leader right away, like he was when they won the ACC last year. You know, he was in a timeshare with Anthony Boone, but one of the things that really stood out to me when I was looking over his numbers and looking over a little bit of video is the fact that he's a really good short yardage runner. He ran for 14 touchdowns last year, even though he only averaged, I think, like 4 yards a carry, which is a little unusual for a quarterback. But, you know, considering that Fresno had a lot of trouble in third and short situations or second and short situations, power running situations basically last year, I think he could make a huge difference. And considering that none of the other quarterbacks that were there have a ton of game day experience, I think he's probably got the inside track for the job right now.
Any chance Greenlee, was he overrated to be the house highly rated last year coming in? Because yeah, I figured he would have been probably at least not named, but the favorite before getting a commit from Duke.
Well, I had said all along that I thought Brian Burrell, who was Derek Carr's backup last year, I thought he probably had the inside track for the job. And when I went to the spring showcase a couple months ago, I got to see all the quarterbacks up close, and I really felt like he still had a slight advantage over the other guys. Greenlee was the guy who had most of the trouble throwing the ball. You know, he was a little bit wobbly with his passes. You know, he was throwing behind receivers, throwing ahead of receivers. I think he was the only one who threw an interception in the showcase. So, you know, I hesitate to say that he was overrated, but he was just not ready for prime time yet.
So what about the wide receivers? I mean, who is Connett going to throw to now that Burse is gone, now that Adams is gone? Who's next?
Well, Josh Harper's still there, which is very nice. He had over 1,000 yards last year. The guy I'm really interested in watching was Aaron Peck. And if you guys remember the Las Vegas Bowl, he had a couple of catches that were actually a couple of would-be catches. They just went right off of his fingertips. So there was one, I think it was like a 40-yard strike, and it just went right through his hands. And I think he had an offensive pass interference penalty or something. But, you know, he showed flashes of potential throughout the season, and he's going to be the guy that's probably going to step into Adams' old spot. The other guy I'm really interested in watching is Justin Johnson. You know, he stood in, I think, when Isaiah Burse was ejected from the Hawaii game early last year. You know, he didn't see a lot of action, but I think that he will be a factor.
So will the offense let's do running back, because it's still going to be a timeshare like with Josh Gazzada and the other guy, basically my name. Is that going to be the same situation as last year?
Marquise Waller, you mean?
Yes, Marquise Waller, yes. His name spaced me. But, yeah, is that going to be the same situation, or one of those two step up to make a difference in spring?
Well, I think it'll probably still be a timeshare. You just kind of have to keep your fingers crossed that they won't abandon the running game like they did the times last year. I think Quezada and Waller will both see plenty of action, especially when they're trying to break in the new quarterback, whoever he may be.
That makes sense. But, okay, let's just get to the games. Me and Chris will go through a couple of the games, but, man, their schedule's tough. It depends what you think of Utah or Nebraska, but at USC, at Utah, host Nebraska. Are they going to start 0-3?
No, they're not going to start 0-3. I think they have enough talent to beat Utah. But the opener at the Coliseum, I'm a little worried about that right now, because they got outclassed in Vegas last year, and I saw that in person. So even though the Trojans lost a lot of talent, there's a reason that they still recruit 4- and 5-star guys with alarming regularity. Nebraska, I'm a little less certain about, but you know they're still a very good Big Ten team. So you know, bringing them into Bulldog Stadium is not going to be an easy task.
So with Utah, because I'm a Utah guy, I know a lot about their team. Their defense is usually pretty good. Week two, your offense still finding their groove. That's the only reason I think there could be a loss coming up there, because we know what Utah's defense has done for years, even though they've been terrible in the Pac-12. defense is always great. Fresno week two, that's the I still think Fresno could win, but I think it's going to be a close game because that defense will be pretty tough going up against that Fresno offense because Utah's defense possibly could be better than USC's defense this year.
Well, then I guess I might say that it kind of comes down to what Utah's offense does against Fresno State's defense.
No clue.
Well, because, you know, Fresno State had a lot of issues last year, and some of that had to do with health, and some of that had to do with breaking in guys who probably weren't ready. So they didn't really lose much of anybody, aside from L.J. Jones, who was the number one corner. But the coaches feel really good about the guys who are still there, and they have a lot of flexibility. So I would assume it comes down to how well Utah's offense can do against those guys.
All right, Matt. Unfortunately, this is not the complete Fresno State preview. We're going to totally bring you back on for that one.
Not a problem.
Let's get an early win, loss, and bowl game prediction out of you. You don't have to say what bowl game, but whether they're going to go to a bowl game or not.
All right, let me look at the schedule real quick. I think they'll beat Utah. They'll beat Southern Utah. They'll beat New Mexico. I think they'll beat San Diego State, so that's four, right?
That's there. Then UNLV five, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think they'll beat UNLV, so that's five. I think they'll beat Wyoming, so that's six. San Jose State makes seven. Nevada is kind of a coin flip. I say that they'll beat Hawaii, so that's eight. So you're looking at, you know, eight and four, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that that'll be good enough to win the division. I don't know if they have enough talent to beat a Boise or Utah State in the championship game. So if we're talking about a super early prediction, I'm going to say that Boise beats Fresno State in the conference championship. So what is the Mountain West's number two bowl?
Everything's changing this year because our ESPN bowls got all frustrated and skewed. So
I believe it's still the Poinsettia Bowl.
Okay, so then let's go with that.
we don't get the Bahamas Bowl.
I know. Sadly, we will not be applying for credentials there at the Bahamas Bowl because we can't go. But 8-4, 8-4, 8-5. So 8 or 9 wins there for you. So we'll go with 8.
Poinsettia Bowl versus Army / at-large.
Okay.
Probably at-large.
I'd give 89% at-large to that. Let's just hope there's enough bowl teams to match up with that. So, all right,
Jeremy, what's your prediction?
My prediction is they're gonna. I'm feeling positive today. They're gonna go 2-1. They're gonna beat my Utes and Nebraska, so it'll be 2-1. Well, every team, but Southern Utah. So I think their losses are USC, Boise, and I guess I'll go San Diego State just because they have a bit more. But I'm gonna go 9-3. Or no, wait, excuse me, that's 10. Yeah, 9-3. There are three losses, but I don't know. I still think San Diego State can win that division. So I don't know if they'll make it to the title game because that'd give Fresno State two league losses there. And looking at San Diego State, I'm still going to go 9 wins. I don't know. I'm just going to go 9 wins in a bowl game. I don't know if they're going to make the title game. I still think San Diego State will make the title game just because they'll have with their schedule, let's see. Nope, never mind. I'm awesome at talking at the moment. 9-3 for Fresno, for sure. Are they going to win the division or not? Because San Diego State, nope, I'm going Fresno to win the division again. Sorry for that round.
I'm
going to
go 9-3. I'm going to go 9-3 just like you, Jeremy, except I'm going to go for the Pac-12 sweep.
Chris is crazy. They're back.
They're going to get revenge against USC. They're going to beat Utah. They're going to lose to Nebraska.
Okay.
And I think they're still going to. I still think they're going to probably lose to Boise State. And I'm really really high on a team I shouldn't be high on. I'm going to say they're going to lose to Wyoming. They're still going to win the West.
At home.
Damn it.
9-3 across the board.
Yeah, keep in mind that the Bulldogs haven't lost a home game with Jim DeRuiter as head coach.
Fine. Let's 9-3. I don't know who they're going to lose to outside of Nebraska, but they will win the West, and they're going to make a bowl game. So now let's go back to Colorado State. Hey, Matt, you want to continue joining us?
Yeah,
I feel like roundtable's the way to go.
I'm more than happy to.
Group three? Okay. We can go. We'll make these quick because we are exceedingly running out of time because me and Chris talk too much. So let's just do real quick CSU. We already talked about they have no running back. Their quarterback is going to be Garrett Grayson still. They lose Shaq Barrett. Who else is on defense? Corey, I don't know. They're probably going
back. They lost Shaq Bell, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, Shaq Bell. I think Barrett and Bell, yeah. So what's your quick thoughts on them real quick? Let's just kind of run through a couple. Unless any quick thought or record real quick so we can kind of blast through these other nine teams.
Well, I think, Colorado is going to hinge on Grayson. I think he's probably this year's David Fales in that, he's going to have a lot of writing on his arm and, whether they can, throw for, 3,000 yards is going to really – I lost my train of thought.
That happens. He could be a pretty good quarterback. Even though one of our good buddies, Ian, did not like him at all last year, but I think he turned around late in the year. I think they'll be okay. They'll have some decent wideouts, I think. Running games are a big concern. We don't know who's going to start there. And they're going to – tough stretch. Colorado, they're terrible. Boise State, they're going to lose probably. At Boston College is interesting. Home to Tulsa, they always have a good offense. Schedule is not difficult, but they have a random stretches that are kind of hard and not hard as well, if that makes sense. Kind of back and forth, I should say. I don't think they're going to make a bowl game. I'll just start off there. I don't think they'll be able to beat. They'll start off by beating UC Davis. They'll probably beat BC. That's 2-3. I can see 6 wins because Air Force is pretty bad. I'm just going with the record. I'm going 6-6 for the Rams.
Does that include a bowl game or not?
Yes, it does.
It does. Are we going to hit the 7 bowl game mark?
We'll see. We're generous, so probably.
What about you, Matt?
My best guess is they go 7-5 because their November schedule looks very, very soft. You get at San Jose, home versus Hawaii, home versus New Mexico, and at Air Force. I mean, if they can win those 4 games, I think a lot of what happens in August and September isn't really going to matter that much.
Sure. San Jose is a difficult one, and that's probably not that difficult this year.
They can easily go 4-0 that whole November slate. I'm with Matt on this. I think a 7-5 season in a bowl game sounds about right.
Because if you do that, you got 5 for UC Davis. Are they going to beat Colorado and Tulsa then? Or Colorado, Wyoming, Tulsa?
They'll beat Colorado or Tulsa.
I think they'd be good enough to beat Boston College.
Possibly. It's on the road. Yeah, that's why I'm questionable on that one. But still, they're not a good team, but playing across the country and that, whatever. Well, I think we're safe bowl game. Assuming, I'll give the caveat, they have to have a running game show up or have somebody since they're off bibs. Alexander and Woke are no longer on the team for moving on to other places. So that's their big concern. But yeah, all they got to do is win 2 games from August till October and they're golden. All right, let's move
Hawaii, on. Hawaii, Hawaii.
What was that? You want to talk about the Warriors?
The Rainbow Warriors, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, Rainbow Warriors. I'm assuming a number one goal is to not use the quarterback quadrant system this season.
Well, now that they don't have Sean Schroeder, they don't really have a choice.
even with him last year, they were rolling out whoever wanted to play quarterback. Your turn. It's like giving away cars on Oprah or something. Everybody gets a turn.
They're holding more open tryouts than the USL Premier Development League for professional teams for soccer.
Good point. It depends because they're not getting Max Wittick because he's not transferring anywhere because he didn't take enough credit to graduate. They have Schroeder. They still have well, they don't have Schroeder. Taylor Graham might play. Well, I don't know if Ohio State hasn't showed up. Who's the other guy, Chris? Isaiah, is it Wooksley? What's his name? I can't remember.
Wooksley.
Are you talking about, Akaika Woolsey?
Yeah, Akaika Woolsey. Yeah, he... That's a good. We need to have you on it to make, so you can say the name and only. That's all we'll do for
it.
He's the English guy.
I should.
Let's not forget that.
He's. It's going to be those two guys. It just. I think Norm Chow's. You think he's smarter than what he proposed last year and the year before? Because I think getting rid of Aaron Price in a week before camp last year, the OC was not the best move. And so it could be Woosley. It could be Graham. I don't know. They lost. Billy Ray Stutzman. What the one positive note is the running back situation, because the running back broke his foot. Was it Jeremy Osafa, I believe that's correct. Do you know
Joey
how to say that? Joey. I don't know. Yeah, Joey Osafa. When he came in to play the last couple weeks of the season, they looked like a football team. Running the ball, they could do something. But dude, they're just gonna be awful again. All right, can we just go 0-12 and move on and not worry about it?
I think it'll probably be like 1-11. I think if they lose to Northern Iowa at home, then, you know. If they lose to Northern Iowa at home, I don't think Norm Chow is going to survive the year.
What would it take? Let's do that now, because they got Northern Iowa and maybe Colorado. I could see those two as wins. Maybe UNLV, because they get them home. So I could see three max. What will it take to get him, Norm Chow, fired or keep his job? As I'm being pessimistic, saying that what will keep him fired, get him fired first. What does he have to do?
Norm Chow wanting to retire. That's what's going to get him fired.
He's going to say, I stepped down because.
I think if they don't show any improvement in the win column, he's going to get fired. So I think if they can win two games, we'll have another year.
Really? Why that? They don't care that much about football anymore. They're saying, oh, whatever, you're doing a little better. We'll keep you around.
I just think it's going to be bleak.
Nobody wants to come to Hawaii right now. That's the problem.
Well, he brings in these crap coaches to be OC, guys who haven't coached in a long time. They bring in all these guys he had from Utah who to be GAs or quarterback coaches who never coached a day in their life, and Jordan Wynn. He has a terrible coaching staff around him, it seems like, for who he can bring in. He brings in these random guys. He did get the Utah State, was the linebackers coach or secondary coach, to be the DC, so maybe the defense will be better. But I'm going 3 wins max, and that's being very generous. I got the Northern Iowa at Colorado and beat UNLV at home. That's where I'm sitting at. And I can't go any higher than that. Anybody else agree?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say Northern Iowa and UNLV are going to be their wins. 2-10.
What do you got really?
1-11. They're going to beat Northern Iowa, and that's it. It's going to be bleak on the islands.
So what's the consensus? Fired or stepped down?
Fired.
Fired. Okay. Across the board, you're fired. All right. Let's move on. Let's move quickly here because we only have 30 minutes left, and we need to crack this out. Nevada, Wolfpack. They did bring back Cody Fajardo.
0-12.
The coach I was facing earlier, Brian Polian, I couldn't think of earlier for some reason. You think, hopefully, he's learned a few things they got with Nevada and the pistol offense. Their schedule, it's really quick. Southern Utah, Washington, at Arizona, at San Jose, Boise home, host CSU, at BYU. It's a tough schedule, at Hawaii, Nevada, San Diego State at home.
It's a tough schedule, but they have all their tough games at home except for Arizona.
Yeah, they go to BYU.
Yeah.
You have to,
I mean,
come
but, on. BYU, but I mean, even if you go, even if, whoa, hold on. But even if BYU travels to Reno, it's still a home game for BYU, so it doesn't matter.
Not last year, was it? Reno gave them a tough battle for that first half.
So, I'm not,
so,
yeah.
Matt, go first. So what do you kind of what's your initial quick thoughts, and where do you think they'll end up? If you hopefully have schedule.
Well, personally, I think I like Cody Fajardo more than both of you guys.
I like him
and
a lot.
And I think Nevada's season is going to depend on how many teams they can outscore, because how bad is the defense going to be? I think that's an open question.
It is, because I remember the Florida State game, they kept it close, but then they stopped scoring and stopped getting turnovers, and then they lost by, what, 40 points.
Well, they also didn't have Fajardo in that game.
Well, that's true, but even when they had the freshman in there, he did okay for a little bit, based on his name, but Fajardo clearly, it's going to be Fajardo or Tricky Keaton for the top two quarterbacks, and it'll be close this year, I'm assuming.
I mean, if Fajardo can stay healthy, I think they've got potential to be a dark horse in the West Division. You know, I think they'll obviously beat Southern Utah, and I think they could put up points on both Washington State and Arizona. It's just a matter of how many stops the defense can get. You know, I think they're good enough to beat San Jose State, definitely good enough to beat Hawaii and Air Force and UNLV. But the other games are going to depend on how many stops the defense can make.
Yeah, Fresno, Boise, BYU, those are the, in Arizona, are the games right there, two of the four at home, or half and half. So what do you think? Because I think they could be Washington State. What do you think? They're 8-4 or something along those lines? Because remember last year, they did not go to a bowl game, and that was pretty surprising for who they had on their team.
Worst case scenario is, you know, 1-2-3. Worst case scenario, I would say is 5-7.
That's not out of the realm of possibility, because they're all over the board. Like I said, they got to outscore teams. They need to have a – because the running back, I think it's going to be Don Jackson still. But the thing, it's like I mentioned before, they hopped on the Air Force. You're going to get yards on the ground, but you got to have a key running back to go with the quarterback. You can't just have four guys taking 8 carries a game. You got to have at least one guy that's going to be the main guy. Even though he may only get 5 or 6 more carries more than that number 2 or 3 guy, you have to have one guy who they can rely on, and they didn't really have that last year. If Don Jackson can do that, then that gives them a better chance.
Did Tebow Brock leave?
No, he's still there because he didn't get drafted. I'm assuming he's still there.
That's what I said. He should still be the starting running back this year.
Oh, Kendall Brock. I'm thinking of the guy at the mullet. Kendall. Okay, I thought Don Jackson. Well, maybe that's my problem. They're running too many guys out there. Yeah, Kendall Brock will be a senior. Let's see here. Let me make sure on that. That's correct. Yeah, he'll be a senior there. I don't know how I overlooked him, but okay, even better, if Don Jackson can step up, or Kendall Brock, or any of those two guys. I just remember I remember Don Jackson getting more carries last year at times. But let's get back to Matt. So what's your actual prediction? 5-7, or are they going to get to a bowl game?
I think realistically they'll be 6-6, and they'll be one of those teams right on the edge of a bowl berth.
Okay. I get your point in being a dark horse, because they host Boise, they host San Diego State, they host Fresno. All the three tough teams out west, they host. Or, well, Boise not, but the two tough on the West Coast, Western Division teams. You're quite interesting. 6-6. All right, Chris, what do you got?
I'm going to say 5-7.
Ooh, 5-7.
And there's, I mean.
Is this including your Boise State bias or not?
That's partially my Boise State bias, but, I mean, look, we know Nevada should be able to score points, but we know that Nevada only has Cody Fajardo and only has Kendall Brock and Don Jackson. We have no clue what their receiving core looks like, and we have no clue what their defense is going to look like. There's way too many questions. And when there's way too many questions and you face SUU the first week of the season – but then you get Washington State, who should be even more improved this year than last year, and then you go on the road to Arizona. That's a 1-2 start. That does not bode well for the rest of the season.
Interesting.
I honestly think what's going to happen is I think there's going to be an implosion of kind of team chemistry as well.
Why is that?
It's more of when you still don't know, when you are going to have a very young team, or when you have way too many questions on both sides, there's not, you know, yeah, you have spring ball to work on it and you have fall camp to work on it, but, you know, you're going to have a very inexperienced team who doesn't necessarily have, you know, who doesn't necessarily have the experience. Yeah, their defensive line they were very young last year, and most of the defensive line has about 12 games played on average starting between them. That's some experience, but that's not a whole bunch.
That's a good point.
All right, I have a question for you, Chris.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the schedule. You said that they're going to beat Southern Utah, right? So give me a percentage from 1 to 100. What are the odds that Nevada is 1-6 when they play at Hawaii on October 25th?
Oh, you are... Oh, you're just trying to make me warm and fuzzy all inside, aren't you?
Because you get Washington State, at Arizona, at San Jose, and then home for Boise, home for Colorado State, at BYU.
I'm going to get, you know what? I'm going to go lower than what it's expected. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 40% that 1-6 starts.
Well,
wow.
I was thinking 49% less than half by going low.
That is a lot higher than I anticipated.
That's honestly the way they play. I could see it happening, but the way I'm thinking for way they could. Wait, Chris, really quick. So, what's their schedule? They're going, you said 6-6. Is that right, Chris?
No, 5-7.
5-7, okay. I could see that. I'd probably go maybe 30%. For some reason, I think they might be able to get past Washington State just because of the running. Look what Caffrey did last year in the running game, I think, with Kendall Brock, Don Jackson, Fajardo running the ball. They might be able to get past Washington State and Southern Utah. So they can be 2-0, but then they're not beating Arizona. They're not good on the road, so they're not going to beat San Jose State. They could be, what, I could see them maybe 2-4 into Hawaii. I'm going to go 6-6. I think they'll beat either San Jose or Colorado State, probably Colorado State at home. I'm going to go 6-6 because they're going to beat UNLV. They're going to beat Air Force. Beat Hawaii. It's a high 6-6, but I think they'll, because they surprise so often. I'm going to go 6-6 because they'll surprise one of these teams, like Washington State, or somehow beat a road game against like San Jose State, or, and I don't know if Colorado State's an upset, but I go 6-6. That's kind of where I'm leaning at, because they'll surprise somewhere along the road, either a win or a loss, and they'll balance those things out. Right? I'm not okay. Far off on that. That's got to be right. You know what I mean?
Right. Something like that. Yeah. Football Bob.
Can they just put a guy – can they get the whole – get Macaulay Culkin back there to have a quarterback who can pull the strings, make it look like he throws? Because that might be better than Cole Galsy trying to throw the ball himself. Is that possible?
Yeah, don't hit the player. Hit the game, man.
I'm just saying, the thing with him, when he's in, he does a very good job running the offense. But when it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 7, you got 11 guys on the line of scrimmage ready to knock your head off. And that's
so then just never, ever have a third down ever.
Oh, they make it so
simple. Or just play 4 downs and pull the Rocky Long offense and just never punt.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so New Mexico, are they going to get any better? Yes, no. I think slightly better.
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out what they did last year, but they should beat UTEP. UTEP's not any good. Not any good. Arizona State, they're not. I don't know if they got them at home, but. Their schedule plays.
They're
going to
get murdered by Arizona State. What are you talking about?
No, I said they got them at home somehow.
Oh well, yeah, that's because Sun Devils like desolate places where nobody likes to live.
There you go. To start off, Chris, are they going to be? Why do you think they'd be better or worse than last year's record?
You know, this is one of those things that New Mexico, for all intents and purposes, is. Are they ever really good? I mean, yeah, they did make a bowl game however long ago. What was that? When Rocky Long was there, correct?
Oh, wait, I think 09. He's a model for success. New Mexico's always been that pesky team when Utah and BYU and TCU were in the Mountain West. They would do just enough to hang with you and maybe beat you every couple of years, but never good enough to win the league. But now that team is still buried a couple feet with Michael Oxley to the program.
But so here's the thing, though. New Mexico, 3-9 last year. Absolutely abysmal. However, New Mexico has a chance to go 3-1 in non-conference play before they even, you know, they have a chance to actually have a winning record before they face Fresno State. They've got the schedule that sets up perfectly, and that allows them to grow as a team. Now, their triple option or whatever they want to call their run-heavy-based offenses, whether it's working or not, I think it's starting to work better than it was, but I think their passing game needs a lot of help, just like all triple option offenses.
But, wait, they don't have Casey Carrier, and Caruso Gongbe is probably going to see behind a jail cell for the next 20 years. So their running game is going to be good luck finding the guy to run the ball in Albuquerque.
Well, you know, they still got five guys. They've got Kerryon Gibson, and they still got Jarrell Presley, who was pretty good in part-time duty.
Really? You're going to mention their third
and fourth? Yeah, he averaged nine and a half yards a carry last year. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Totally.
But when you go to the Sorry, I'm not making fun of you, but it's like, oh, let's go look at their fourth string running back, and they're going to be great. It's just, and I'm just messing with you, but it's like when you look that deep, yeah, 9 yards of carry is good, but I could just reply back, it's still New Mexico.
Yeah, but you still have a whole bunch of freshmen. I mean, you've got three freshmen, or, you know, you've got three guys who have not played really yet who are at running back. So they've got a strong running back core. We don't know how strong they're going to be. I think the biggest thing for New Mexico is how much can they improve their defense. And their defense could improve significantly. Last year they were a very young defense. This year they're going to be a little bit, you know, more veteran, hopefully a little bit better. Sorry, more veteran is bad. My English is bad. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah, no worries.
You know, so I do think they're going to improve. I'm going to go ahead and say 4 wins this year. Yeah, a single win makes all the difference.
I wish I shared your optimism.
Okay, all I have to say, Matt, is look at their non-conference schedule, and then you tell me that they're not going to at least hit 3 wins.
Remember the UTEP game last year? They snuck that out.
I think you underestimate Texas San Antonio.
This is true.
Really,
this is a Larry Coker team.
National title coach. Larry Coker.
And I mean, I know that they played in a monsoon, but they did beat Wyoming last year. Let's not forget that.
But that was defense optional as well.
I mean, I think I'm with you that a lot of the improvement is going to depend on the defense. And the big question there is how much of a pass rusher are they going to get? Because they had one guy last year who had, I think, more than 5 tackles per loss.
True, but Chris, did you also look at you know New Mexico lost to Texas San Antonio last year at home, right? Did you forget to look at that?
I may have not been a fully attentive state of mind when watching that game. It may have been slightly altered.
I think their best case scenario is 3 wins because I think they'll compete with UTEP, and I think they have enough to beat New Mexico State and Air Force. But, I mean, if they're going to have any chance of real improvement, they're going to have to get their wins early because after their second bye, they're not winning any games in November.
Not
even Wyoming at home. Because if I want to be super optimistic, guy, I would go 2-2 in non-conference play. You'd probably some combination of, you know, the teams UTEP, NMSU, or UTSA. Got 2-2 there. I could see them... Air Force. Why not? Air Force isn't very good. UNLV, maybe. I could see 5 wins if they beat Wyoming at home. If I'm being super optimistic, but I'm not an idiot either. You got 2 of those road games. I'm going 3-9, and I do think they might be able to beat Wyoming the last week of the season, but that's just because it's a home game. And Chris is probably gonna hate me because he likes Craig Ball to go bowling for the puns only. But I got 3-9 for New Mexico.
Yeah,
and they will be. I think they'll be better, but they're just not going to get the wins, which sucks.
So you're saying they're going to be this year's Hawaii? Which is kind of damning with faint praise.
No, they're better than Hawaii. So, no. Let's move on. We've got to move quickly. We've got to wrap this thing up here in about 15 minutes. Yikes. We talk a lot. All right, next. What's next? Who's next? Let me get my schedule here. Real quick, San Diego State. I think we already all said they're going to win the West Division. Is that correct across the board? Or did no?
No, no. I think only you said that.
Oh, I don't get veto power over everybody?
Well,
I mean, I guess you could if you wanted to.
I could, no. Sorry. I was, jeez, I'm clicking too many buttons to get scheduled up here. I was looking at the spreadsheet and not doing it properly. Yes, I think I'll start first. No, I think we all said the Fresno State. So I think San Diego State is quick. It can't be worse than last year because that was awful the first couple weeks. Quinn Kaler would be a good quarterback. They do have DJ Pumphrey.
They almost lost to New Mexico last year.
Oh, come on, don't bring me down. I think they non-conference schedule is reasonably difficult at North Carolina, at Oregon State. They're probably
at home
lose.
Versus Idaho.
Yeah, you're Vandals right there, Chris. You're Vandals. I don't want to contradict what I said earlier. I assume I said earlier Fresno was going to beat them, which is a correct call. I think their only loss, go by their only losses. They're probably going to go 9-3, but lose a tiebreaker to Fresno. So they'll lose to Fresno, lose to Boise, and lose to Oregon State, go 9-3 and go to a bowl game. We got to make this quick, so that's all I got. Matt, go.
Are we sure that Quinn Kaler is any better than we thought Adam Dingwall was this time last year?
Yes.
Are we sure?
No.
Because I'm not
sure. So you
sure.
Mean
and
comparing...
I think that's,
you make a
I
good point because
Dingwall
played well.
That's
at the
big
end of
X factor.
Years ago.
But
you know,
they're going to take their lumps.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, they're going to take their lumps in non-conference play with back-to-back trips to Chapel Hill and Corvallis. I don't think they're going to win either of those games.
They had a week
and
off.
Then the conference... The conference schedule doesn't get any more forgiving. They have to go to Fresno, they have to go to Boise, and they have to go to Reno. And I think all three of those places are going to be really tough places to win at this year.
Sure. Nevada, I think they can get the win. I'm leaning more toward that on one. But still, you're right. It does not set up good if they want to win the West or even win a couple more games they lose in league play.
I think they're going to have to win one of those three games on the road in order to win the division, but... Honestly, I don't think that's going to happen, if you're asking me right now.
Well, even if they do that, if you're saying that one would have to be Fresno. Because I would have them finishing the same record, but lose the Fresno would be the tiebreaker where Fresno gets the win. Like, they'll still be, whatever, 6-2 in league play or something, whatever it be, 5-2, or many games they play in league play, 7-6-2, whatever. But you're right, Steph. You don't think they can beat North Carolina? Because they were pretty bad last year.
No, I don't think so.
So what do you got?
I mean, if you're asking me right now.
Yeah, of course. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We're not going to wait to answer the game next month.
My best guess is 8-4. They lose at North Carolina, at Oregon State, at Fresno, and at Boise. And I think the loss to Fresno is what makes the difference in the race for the division.
Okay, Chris, what do you got there?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I'm with Matt here. I'd say 8-4.
Are they going to beat UNC then, or lose to Reno?
No, ooh. Okay.
There could be five losses on the schedule if they lose both UNC and Oregon State.
God damn. They're going to beat UNC. They're going to lose they're going to lose to UNC. They're going to beat Reno.
Okay.
Remember, I'm down on Reno here.
Of course, you have to be.
I don't have to be, but I choose to be.
Because you have to. Okay. San Jose State, let's go quick here. Spartans, new quarterback. They're still working in some dude. We talked to Jimmy Durkin a while ago. I don't recall because that was in February. let's just say, can we all agree? San Jose State, they're not going to beat Fresno State, and the red zone offense cannot be worse than last year. Can that be 100% guaranteed right now?
Sure, yes. Why not?
Sure. I'm saying, the Reds, me and Chris would joke the whole time last year, Reds just snapped up the 25 and go. So what do we get? Okay, here's what we got really quick. They go to Auburn at Minnesota. They go to Navy, which is, whatever. They have a similar schedule with the conference where they go at Fresno, at Utah State, at San Diego State, where their three toughest league games are on the road.
I don't think this team is making the bowl game this year.
They didn't last year. I don't know. I'll go first. They're not going to beat Auburn. They're not going to beat Minnesota. They'll start off one. Ooh, that's going to be bad for them. Would people hate me if I said 3-9? Would that be out of line there? 3-9? Beat North
here's
Dakota.
The thing. They have 7 road games this year and only 5 home games. So if they're going to get full eligibility, they're going to have to win 1 or 2 on the road. And when you look at their schedule in conference, at Wyoming, at Fresno State, at Utah State, at San Diego State, are they going to win any of those games?
I'd give Wyoming the best shot, but I'm not confident in it.
And, I mean, their non-conference road games are at Navy, at Minnesota, at Auburn. Are they going to win any of those games?
Are they even going to beat North Dakota? I mean, North Dakota is...
No,
hear me out here. North Dakota and North Dakota State are both very FBS beating FCS teams on a regular basis.
The last time I saw North Dakota is when Fresno State was blowing them out a few years ago. So
that's your baseline. I'm going 3-9. They're going to beat North Dakota. They're going to beat UNLV and Hawaii, and that's it.
I'm going to go. Go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, they're a real big mystery, but if you're asking me right now, I'm
going to
say
low.
4-8.
Yeah, you got to go low. Chris, what do you got?
I'm going to say they beat North Dakota. I'm going to say they beat Nevada. They beat Colorado State, and they beat Hawaii. So they win 4 or 5 home games, but don't get much done on the road.
Yeah, I'm with Matt here. They're 4-8. I don't think... I just don't know enough about them. This is a team. Yeah.
Let's move on because we got to hurry here. We're gonna run out of time because this is actually a live recording here. Let's go to UNLV. Is that next? UNLV. All right. They can't go to a bowl game, so that's obviously no. They added Houston, which is weird when they added the road game when they could add 13th game for playing out Hawaii. It's not a home game. So here's what I got them going. They're gonna beat Northern Colorado. One game, that's it. And then San Jose State, Air Force, Hawaii, they're going to go 4-9, I'm saying right now. They do have Devontae Davis. Nick Sherry's going to be the quarterback, maybe, even though he's was bench last year. But they're not going to be very good. They have no motivation. They're not going to beat Arizona. They're not going to beat Northern Illinois. They're not going to win at Houston. League slate's tough at Aztecs, at Spartans. At BYU is another tough non-league game. I got them, what I see. I've got 4-9, man. They're going to struggle and lose motivation.
I think they're going to hang tough. I think they're still going to get the 6 wins. I think they're going to beat Northern Colorado. I think they'll pull the upset at home against Northern Illinois. Excuse me.
Okay.
And I think they have enough to beat San Jose State, New Mexico, Air Force, and Hawaii. I think they'll be a middle-of-the-pack team, kind of like they were last year. They might take a little bit of a step back, but I think they'll hang into a lot of games that we don't expect.
Yeah, I'm with Matt on this one. I think from what we saw last year to what we're going to see this year, I think there's going to be a step back. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be too much of a step back. 1, 2, 3, 4, but I'm going to go ahead and say 5-8 here.
Yeah, I could see 5, but I'm thinking of 4 just because they know they're not going to a bowl game and they get the Hawaii game, which they could possibly lose because it's end of the season. They don't care. Even though they got the rival game for the Cannon, Fremont Cannon, that's still.
Hawk will still have his job at the end of the year.
I think so, yeah. And they did lose one of their top, what their starting left guard, Arkansas State, transfer because he could transfer without issue with the APR score being a. As low as it was. All right, let's go to Wyoming because we've got to wrap it up here.
Utah State.
Alphabetical, sorry. Utah State. They're going to beat Tennessee because, of course, Strucky Keaton does what he does. Tennessee's not very good. Well, it'll be an upset to the nation, but we know better to say they're going to win. I'm close to saying they could win almost every game this year as well. because Wake Forest is nothing special. Arkansas State could be tricky because they won the Sun Belt, but they have a new head coach for like the 10th straight year. It depends on that BYU game, I think. I'm going to go right now, just because we got to quick and be hurry. I'm going to go 11-1, and they're going to win the Mountain Division. Their only loss is at BYU. And I hate saying that. But I got them 11-1 losing only to BYU.
Chris, how about you?
I've got them going 11-1, but I have them losing to Boise State.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you guys were looking at the wrong team to potentially go undefeated earlier.
The schedule sets up so nice, though. That's why I like Boise State's schedule. I know I shouldn't, but the schedule's so appeasing to do so.
Realistically, though, I think they'll go 10-2. Because I think they'll lose at Tennessee and they'll lose the season finale at Boise, and which is why Boise is going to win the division.
I think what Utah State needs to do is get a running game and find a couple wide receivers because they got Joe Hill back there. He's coming off injury. They also like Travis Van Leeuwen and the other guys. So that's, and depending on how restrictive they keep Truckee Keaton. So I'm not guaranteed a Tennessee win, but it's because it's game one back, but I think it's a good shot they do 11-1 and top them off. All right, so let's move on quickly. So we will come back and do more in depth since we spent too much time on Air Force and bad teams earlier in the show. Wyoming, Chris, I know Chris wants to use the Greg Bowling pun as much as he can this year. So Chris, start us off. What do you got?
But why not? Here's the thing: is why not? Wyoming has
no
Wyoming...
Brent Smith, no Brandon.
No. Listen here.
Robert Heron's gone. Marquestion Huff is gone. Come on.
Yeah, but okay. So they play Montana. They should beat Montana. They play Air Force. 1-2. They play Alcatraz, Florida Atlantic. That's three wins right now. They'll start and when they cruise into October. They're going to be 3-2 because they're going to get blown out by Oregon and Michigan State. Okay, wins versus Hawaii and San Jose State. That brings them to 5-2. They only have one more game to win, and you can't tell me that they can't win at least either against Colorado or New Mexico.
Didn't we say the same thing last year?
Yeah. They started off with 4-1 last year, wasn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
I'm switching the year right now. I think they started, they went 0-1. The Nebraska game, they were 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, and they could not beat, they beat Hawaii, but schedule sets up a bit differently, but they were 4-2 last year, and they got blown out by Colorado State. I'll just jump in right now. It's going to be quick. I'm going 5-7 for the Cowboys again.
I'll split the difference and say 6-6, just because I really don't know what to expect from Wyoming at this point.
That's true. It's still early. We don't know. Quarterback situation, new coach. You want to be tough and strong. So, okay, 6-6. Chris, you think, okay. That's what we got there.
Yeah,
so
I said 6-6 here. They'll probably I think they're stinging a little bit from Colorado State, but if they lose to Colorado State, they're going to definitely beat New Mexico.
All right, we got to wrap up now because the time's of the essence, and we're going to full 90 minutes here. We will get more insight. We'll do these weekly shows. Air Force next week. Boise will go alphabetical order. I have Matt back on, a bunch of other guests to do some other games. So. Thanks for taking a bunch of time with us, Matt. I told you 15 minutes, and you spent an hour. So I hope you have anything.
Yeah, no problem.
Nothing planned too much for tonight. But, again, check us out, MWCConnection.com. We will have our top 50 player countdown starting at some point. So if you haven't gotten that list, Matt, you better start getting on it sooner than later because I have about 5 names on mine. And Chris, Greek Padre, right? Is that what we should follow you to get you to 400 Twitter followers? Have you gotten there yet?
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not? All right, so that's the end of the show. We will be going once a week, maybe twice a week, and everybody have a good Sunday night or whenever you're listening to this.